You're listening to Seminars at Hadley. This seminar is Who's On First? The Importance of Strong Communication Skills. Presented by Julie Lee Kay. Moderated by Larry Muffett.
Welcome to Seminars at Hadley. My name is Larry Muffett. I'm a member of the Hadley seminar team, and I also work here in curricular affairs. Today's seminar topic is Who's On First? The Importance of Strong Communication Skills. Your presenter will be Julie Lee Kay. Julie is currently an instructor and is past Dean of Educational Operations at the Hadley School. Julie previously worked at the Texas Commission for the Blind. She has made numerous presentations nationally. She's been published in professional journals and was a contributing author for Skills for Success, a textbook on career education for blind children. Today, Julie is going to talk to us about the importance of and the keys to good communication. So let me welcome Julie, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to her at this time.
Thank you, Larry, and what a nice introduction. Makes me sound like I might know what I'm talking about. Hopefully I do. And welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. I personally think that communication is such a fascinating topic because it can either go so right or it can go so wrong. So what I did when Larry asked me to do this presentation is I kind of did an outline. So just to let you know that what I'm hoping that you'll get out of this is why communication skills are important, what is the communication process itself, how good are your communication skills, what are the 7 C's of communication and do I do them, and tips on improving your communication skills, which I assume most of you are here for. You probably know most of this information ahead of time, but it's really nice just to refresh our minds about how do we become or be the best communicator we can be, whether it be at work or it be at home. And I personally think it's even more important to be a good communicator at home, and sometimes we're kind of sloppy about that. But the bottom line is, if you're a good communicator, you'll have a better chance of success. What's so wonderful about communication is that you can persuade people, you can influence them, you can negotiate effectively, and you can provide valuable feedback. You can inspire people, you can motivate people and encourage people. You can convey your ideas better to your boss, you can make interesting conversation with other people, and you can speak to groups of people with self-confidence and credibility. So basically, the better your communication skills, the greater success you can achieve. And the importance of communication skills cannot be understated. And that last paragraph was from Lori Wilhelm, and I got that off a website, www.expressyourselftosuccess.com. And I thought she said it beautifully. So what Larry and I are going to do is just have a little bit of fun with communication gone bad. And many of you may have heard the Abbott and Costello little scenario that they do, a little skit on baseball. And so Larry is going to be Abbott, and I'm going to be Costello. So bear with us while we do this, because we'll be toggling our microphones. But I think you'll have fun with this. So Abbott, take it away.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, the Yankees manager gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I've never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, it seems to me they give these ballplayers nowadays some very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, you know, like Dizzy Dean.
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean. Well, let's see. We have around the infield, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you don't know the fellow's names?
Well, I guess I should.
Well, then, who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing.
Who's on first?
Asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yep.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets.
That's it.
Who gets the money?
He does, every dollar of it. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
Well, there's lots more to it, so if you ever want to listen to it or just read the whole script, you can get it at baseball-almanac.com. And I just think it's hilarious. And it just reiterates the importance of being able to communicate well. So why are communication skills important? Moved things here. The communication process itself, I did really well having everything ready, and then I moved things. I'm sorry. Communication has two parts. And the first part, of course, is the speaker, and the second part is the listener. So there are three things that the sender should keep in mind when communicating. You need to remember the point of the message. And you think to yourself, of course I'm going to remember the point of the message. But a lot of times people go around and around and finally get to the point of the message, and by then you've lost your listener. One way to make sure that doesn't happen is to think through what you want to say and write it down. Don't write every word down, but just in point form. And then add supporting points. And that way you know that you're going to get your point across. The second thing the speaker or sender has to do is to make sure you know how you're going to say it. Select your words carefully and accurately. You do not want people to understand what you're saying. For example, my daughter sent me a note the other day saying that she didn't need her father to come babysit the baby because she was having a test on Thursday instead of Tuesday. Well, it ends up she did need him on Tuesday. So it was very, very confusing. She didn't write down exactly what she meant. So you need to make sure that you are being very specific. And the third point that a sender needs is to know your audience. When you're speaking to a high school group or kindergartners or your coworkers, your language, your jargon, the words you use, it's all going to be different. So you want to make sure that you communicate it well to them. If it is kindergartners, you're probably going to make it more a game or something fun. If it's your colleagues, you don't have to be quite as entertaining, but you might want to have a PowerPoint or handouts, something to help people remember the information. What's more important, really, is to be a good listener. And we cover this in the business communication course. But for the listener, you have to look at the speaker. And if you are blind or visually impaired, you should still look towards the speaker. This is one thing that I used to work with my kids in career education at the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Because if you're looking elsewhere, or looking down, you are indicating to that speaker that you are not interested in what they're saying. So nonverbal cues are very, very important of what you're saying to a speaker. Don't cross your arms. That says that you're being defensive and you're really not open to what they're saying. So just think about what is your body language saying to the speaker. The second thing that a listener needs to do is ask questions. Ask relevant and specific questions so that you understand what's being said. So if you don't understand, you can put it into your words, what the speaker just said, just to confirm that you're understanding what they just said to you. And the third thing is listen respectfully. Even if you don't agree with them, just respond respectfully and give them your viewpoint. But to be belligerent or to cut down somebody, then that is not being respectful to the listener. So you want to encourage conversation. You don't want to shut it down. And so those are just some three really basic points for each of the sender and the listener. And you may ask yourself, how good are my communication skills? And so I've done a little more research to try to shorten this up, and I thought of five questions that you could ask yourself. Is your body language showing that you're paying attention? As I said earlier, eye contact, nodding, don't cross arms, sitting up, don't slouch, those type of things. A second one, when you speak, are you clear and are you concise? A third, are you an active listener? Do you pay attention to the key points? Are you responding to the vital issues? Are you really listening to what the speaker has to say? A fourth question you can ask yourself, do I leave the lines of communication open? Am I really saying that, am I being honest? Am I being patient waiting for them to get to the point if they're not that good of a speaker? And the fifth, do I follow up on issues brought up? Do I do as I say that I'm going to do, or do I ask questions that are going to show that I understand? So that was kind of a summary that I kind of came up with looking at different things to ask yourself. I know one time a supervisor said to me, you over-communicate. And I was just taken aback. It was just like I had always been taught to communicate. And so I was a little defensive. And later on, I thought about it. And I thought, I do sometimes over-communicate. I want to be involved with what's going on. I'm kind of an extrovert. And I also, like even with emails, it was like I always had to be the person with the last word. And sometimes you don't have to be the person with the last word. Let somebody else have that. I found another website called managementstudyguide.com. So again, that's managementstudyguide.com. And they had 7 C's of effective communication. And I thought it kind of tied in with the questions that I had you ask yourself. It's telling you to be complete, so know what you're going to say. Be concise. Say it in as few words as possible. Consideration. And with that, they kind of mean open-minded. Be open to what people are going to send back to you. Clarity. Make sure the facts that you're giving are clear. Concrete. Be very concrete. Don't go off in different tangents. Courtesy, which is respect, and correctness. Have good grammar, be precise, be accurate. Recently, Shirley, who is on this call, she sent out a summary of a conference she went to, and it was fabulous. It was very concise, it was clear, it was enthusiastic. It was very respectful of the people that she had met at the conference. Her grammar and how she presented the information was so interesting to read. Anyway, I was just like, I wonder if Shirley knows the 7 C's of effective communication, because if she doesn't know them, she certainly practices it. So she does a great job. So Shirley, I wanted you to know that. So here are some tips on improving your communication skills. And I've told that some of these to people, and then I just did a little more research for this presentation to make sure that maybe there are some that I haven't thought of, and I thought there were some really good ideas. So the another website that I used here was psychcentral.com. So it was P-S-Y-C-H, psych, central, C-E-N-T-R-A-L.com. And it's asking the therapist, and this person was asking, how can I improve my communication skills? So, someone's saying, it sounds like I'm spitting into the mic. I'm so sorry. I'm maybe holding it too close. I'll hold it further back. So what this psychologist recommended was, one, join a debate club. So that does really help people because it does foster skills as far as arguing, giving your point of view, and listening to other people's point of view. The second one is one that I often recommend, and there's a group called Toastmasters. And it's an organization that helps individuals develop good speaking skills. So if there are people that are very afraid of speaking in public, this is an absolutely wonderful organization. They usually have either morning meetings or dinner meetings or whatever. And you get to practice speaking in a group that's very safe, and they will give you feedback on your presentation. And I have heard great results from many people who have joined Toastmasters. A third recommendation from her was practice with friends or family. And I thought, what a great idea. I've never suggested that. But the family, they know that you're going to love them no matter what. And so they will probably be very clear with you as far as ways to improve how you present yourself. Have other people read your work. And I've done this a lot at work. If there's something that I'm a little unsure about, I will ask people to review my work to make it better. We have some wonderful English teachers here at Hadley, and there are times when I've written a letter that's going to go out, and I ask them to review it because my punctuation is sometimes poor, and I want to come across that correctness, that seventh C of correctness. I want to come across knowing how to write well. Read. And this is something I've told my students. If you have a problem spelling, I highly recommend reading as much as possible, because if you are writing and your spelling is bad, it will divert someone from paying attention to what you're saying, and they will be looking at how you are saying it. And I have a lot of students who need to improve on their spelling skills. And to me, the best way to get over that is to read, read, read. And the more you read, some of those words are just going to then come to you naturally. Take a public speaking class. I was fortunate enough in my master's program to take a public speaking class. Number one, it was very fun. My favorite one was on love letters, and these women, there were three of them, and they did a beautiful job of presenting the effectiveness and how the written word affects us. So that's another way to do it. So if you have a local community college or four-year college, that you could take that. Sometimes community classes will have public speaking, or you could ask them to offer that. Another one is to make a point to speak when you'd rather write a letter. I know a lot of people with email these days, they tend to write more than speak. And I think there's a lot more room for misunderstandings and misinterpretations when you're writing something. So make a point to speak when you'd rather write. Force yourself to do that. And then ask for an objective opinion. So if you have a hard time with communication and you think you are, and even if you don't think, you know, you may think that you're communicating really, really well and that you are just giving your opinion, but you may be coming across either negative or closed-minded. And so that is something that you can ask people, whether it be your family or friends, you know, how do I do? Do I communicate well? Do you have any recommendations for me? And I think then people are going to pay more attention to you. I think they're going to say, oh, this person wants to improve themselves. So I think that that's a really good recommendation. And then the one that I added was, of course, take Hadley courses. The business communications course that I teach has some really wonderful tips. I've had some great students who have asked interesting questions that they want to improve their communication skills, and so they ask these questions, and we're able to discuss them. And that's what I'm here for. I'm not just a grader. I am here to help you improve yourself and improve myself, because I have learned so much from my students. But we also have the business writing course. We have the English skills courses. So there's a lot of courses that would help you improve your communication skills. I wanted to close my comments and then open it up for questions, but a story that I used to read to our little girl, and I'm going to be paraphrasing it because she has the book and I don't, but William Bennett put together all these old fables, and one of them was about a young woman who said some really mean words to her mother, and she felt terrible about it. So she went to the good witch of the town and asked the good witch, "How can I take those words back?" So the good witch said, "Here, take this basket of feathers and put them on every doorstep in our community, and then go home and go to sleep." So the young girl, wanting to make sure that she made up for her bad words, did that. She went and put a feather in front of every door in her community and went to bed. Then the next morning she went back to the witch and said, "Now what do I do?" And the witch said, "Tonight I want you to go back and I want you to pick up each one of those feathers that you put in front of the house, each house." And so that night the young girl went, and of course all of the feathers had blown away. So she goes to the witch the next morning and says, "I tried to do as you said. I tried to find the feathers and put them back into my basket, but they were all gone." And the witch told her, "The words that you say are like feathers. Once you've said them, they're gone. And so you have to be very careful about what you say." And my daughter still remembers that, even though she's in her 20s and has her own daughter. And I just think that is so important for you to think about what you're saying, because once they're said, they can't be taken back. And that is what I wanted to share with you today. So any questions or comments?
Well, I'll kick things off. Julie, what would you say, you talked about the different things. What would you say is, if you had to pick out one key to good, strong communications, what would it be?
I would say being a good listener is probably your best bet when it comes to communication, because then you're really paying attention to what other people are saying and able to really focus in on them. And so when you're focusing on other people instead of, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I'm like, "Oh, what am I going to say? What I want to get my point across." And you're always thinking about me, 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 me. Well, if you pay attention to what the speaker is saying to you and you really focus on them and then you're responding to them, you are going to become a great conversationalist. And you're going to grow. If you're just thinking your thoughts and not paying attention to others, you're not going to grow. So that to me is the most important part of communication, is listening.
Hi, Julie. This is Isaiah. I'm a very soft-spoken person, and I just wanted to know what skills would help me to be able to help communicate more with people.
Well, Isaiah, I personally think that soft-spoken people are the people that I tend to pay a little more attention to than loud-speaking people. One of our instructors is very soft-speaking, but when she speaks, people really, really listen. So I think it goes back to, again, if you really are a good listener and then you reflect back to people that you are really paying attention to them, that's going to help. Now, in work, sometimes being soft-spoken may make you feel like you're not in with the crowd or you're not being listened to. So you may want to practice with friends or family, especially if you're about to be in a business meeting and about to present something, or you want to make sure that your point comes across. Practice. Just practice ahead of time and work on volume a little bit. But volume really isn't all that important in my mind. it's going to be that those seven C's, you know, how complete is what you're saying? How concise are you? How open-minded are you as far as what people give you back? Are you clear? Are you concrete? Are you respectful? And how is your grammar? And that's going to be the important part rather than being soft-spoken.
Julia, comment in our upcoming customer service basics module, we talk about the concept of active listening, which you touched on quite well. One of the concepts they talk about in there is when the person's done basically trying to summarize what they said and repeat it back for confirmation. Could you talk about that technique and how important that is?
Yes, and I just lightly touched on that. But that, again, is reflecting what a good listener you are. If you're not understanding something, it's really easy to just say that. Say, this is what I heard you say. Or, did I understand you to say this? And just basically, in your own words, repeat that back to them. This is what I heard. And number one, that person's going to go, oh my gosh, that person's really listening to me. And number two, then if you didn't understand it clearly, then they're going to be able to set you on the right course and give you the information that you need. So yes, active listening, that's exactly what that means. It's like you are actively involved. You are focusing on that speaker. You are totally involved. You want to understand those concepts, and so you are going to ask questions and try your best to understand what's going on. And then if they're problem solving, then you can be a part of a solution because you'll understand what the problem is. Sometimes, again, being an extrovert, sometimes I don't pause and get all those little details. I feel like I'm so much better at that than I used to be. But again, being an active listener is very important. I know that I used to think that everybody pretty much thought the way that I do. And as you all know, that's really a funny statement. But I guess I was very naive and didn't realize that people's life experiences affect how they're going to interpret information. Some people can get, you know, very defensive of what you say and you're innocently saying it. But when you go back and you look at what you said, because of their past experiences, that may adversely affect their receiving what you've said. So you do have to be careful. And again, that goes back to knowing your audience as a speaker or as a sender. You need to know where do they come from? What is it that they're looking for? What is their understanding of different concepts?
Julie, Hannah's got a question. She wants to know, what's the best way to complete your point if you have many interruptions in a group?
Oh, that's a very, very good question, especially if you're in a committee. What I recommend is waiting. Waiting until people wind down with their interruptions and then saying, is everyone finished? And that makes everybody just stop. And if they're not finished, then someone may say, well, this is the point I need to make, and this is the point. When they finish, is everyone now finished? And then you can make your point. So instead of getting into the battle of the words and trying to vie for the microphone, so to speak, wait. Be patient. Listen to what they're saying, because obviously when the interruptions are happening, that means that people feel like they are not being heard. So that would be my recommendation if you're in that situation. I think what's more important is to avoid that situation. And the best way to avoid that in the workplace, for example, if you're in a meeting, is to have a very good agenda and to have a very good leader of that meeting to make sure that there is someone who is willing to say, well, thank you, Darren, for making that comment. Now it's time for Hilda to speak or Hannah to speak or Angelica to speak. It really can get out of control if you don't have a strong leader in the group, or if the group is, for some reason, trying to become like, I consider like the alpha dog. They're trying to be the most important person in the meeting. And you just have to pay attention for that, to that person's need for attention. Make sure that they understand that you've heard them, and then you can go on to your point. Okay, it is expressyourselftosuccess.com. So again, expressyourselftosuccess.com. And there were some really good articles in there, and it was really fun to do the research on this. Just enter in questions like, how do I improve my communication skills? There were even some little self quizzes you could take, that some websites that came up. So I thought that was fun. Just say, how can I do a good presentation? And it'll come up. Different websites. So you can kind of just play with it. And just like I did, it's, most of this information I already knew, but there are people who have spent hours and hours working on what they want to say, and so it was great to be able to go to them and go, oh my gosh, that's what I want to say, but it's so much better.
And Julie, Vicki would like to know, or has a question for us. She says, I have an example. She says, I am a sales consultant with Mary Kay. I provide skincare classes, and on occasion, how do I stop the side chatter?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Express Yourself to Success is T-O. And as far as Vicki's question, as far as the side chatter, one thing I've noticed with meetings is if what you're sharing with people is really interesting, there's less likelihood of the chatter. But I know exactly what you're talking about because I have gone to like Pampered Chef parties or something like that, and they will have, there will be women talking while the consultant is talking. And number one, it drives me crazy. Number two, as a participant in things like that, I do tend to say, excuse me, I'm listening to the speaker. And I may not make friends, but I've made it clear that I'm there to listen to the speaker. I'm not there to listen to them. So I will just say it to people. As the speaker myself, what I do is I stop speaking. It's really, you know, I kind of see it as a like a meditative yoga kind of thing. It's like if you don't try to have a battle with someone, there's no battle. So if they're chattering, just stop. And normally what that will do is it will embarrass those people who are chattering. If it doesn't stop quickly, I would just pointedly say, excuse me, I'm trying to speak here. And normal people will stop talking at that point.
Hi, Julie. This is Ricky London. I have a question about something I do that I find annoying. How can you throw out extraneous things like, you know, you see, and things like that?
Well, I think that's practice. Think making a real point of when you're speaking to, instead of saying the word or whatever, just pausing. You may have noticed, I know sometimes I do say or whatever, but if I'm looking for words, I really try to stop myself and just be quiet. And then the word will come to me, and then I can go forward. So I really think that that helps a lot. If you're in a very structured situation where you're about to present, the more you know your information and the better notes you have, you're going to say fewer and fewer ums. But when you find yourself starting to say just have a moment of peace and then just start forward again. What we covered earlier as far as things to do to communicate better, I really think practice. Ask family members to help you when you say have it where you have a jar and you have to put a quarter in it or something like that. I know when my daughter was growing up, when she would say the word stupid talking about somebody. She had to put money in a jar. So you may want to start something like that at home where everybody's working on not saying or dragging things out or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to overcome. Have people help you.
A trick that I use is if I drop and I have to think of a word, I will pause, and then after that, I will put an emphasis on the word that in that split second I choose to use. And the audience, in turn, pays more attention because you can stress a word that will get to your audience, like the difference in using the word don't or do not. It carries, do not carries more weight than don't.
Great suggestion. Great suggestion. Someone else just typed in, it was Gary. He said that Toastmasters has an awe counter as part of their evaluations. So when they're listening to your presentation, they'll tell you how many ahs you said. So that's great information, Gary. And then Donald said that if he stutters or stammers, to tape his speech, and that's another way that you can just do it without feedback from other people. You can evaluate yourself. Great suggestions. Does anyone else have any suggestions? This is really a wonderful time to share what you have found has worked for you to improve your communication skills.
Earlier, there was a man who said he was soft-spoken and more introverted. A good idea for him to do is to look around his local community or college and take a storytelling class. Because storytelling classes, you're just telling stories instead of, say, a public speaking class, where you're going to have to make decisions on what you're going to speak about and everything. So storytelling is a good way to bring yourself out.
Oh, that's a fun suggestion. And again, I know in the community I live in, which is a very small community, but their community classes, they really do listen to what people in the community want to take. And so you could recommend that. Very nice.
Yes, I wanted to know how to tell tactfully when a seeing person finishes their point. Some people want you to wait until they finish their whole speech. Others are satisfied if you finish, if you make your point after they finish a sentence, but you can't tell exactly when they're through.
I just think that comes with practice. I think waiting for a pause is good. Does anyone have any suggestions here?
The one I have is a little difficult, but it can be done with practice. A lot of times when people are just pausing, they will be still. And then when they are finished, sometimes there is some body movement. And I got in the habit in debate class and the debate team that I would listen to, along with the voice, listen to the actual person, and you'd be surprised sometimes at what you can pick up on.
I think our suggestion here would be to hear both the intonation of the sentence. So, for example, if you have a question, you end up on a higher tone. A surprise. So listen for the finishing tone in someone's sentence. That would probably be my suggestion.
I think that's an excellent suggestion because somebody's tone usually goes down when they're completing their thought. Donald, did you have something to add? I guess not. But I really, again, I do want to reiterate as far as listening. And sometimes if there is a point where you say, really want to say something and they're going on, say, excuse me, I wanted to make a comment. That will stop somebody. It's saying that you are about to react to something that they've said. So most people are going to stop. I know that you all have run across people that I have that they can talk and talk and talk and have a really hard time listening. And those people are really hard to communicate with. And then people do not want sometimes to be around them. And that's why it's so important to be a good listener. I know one class that I used to teach was on interviewing with the high school students. And I explained to them that it was just as important for you to listen to the person who is interviewing you as you hearing what they have to ask. You need to go in there and have a conversation. It needs to be a 50-50 type conversation. So if you kind of keep that in mind, it's like, am I monopolizing this conversation? And if you are, you need to step back and let the other person speak. And you need to take the time to really listen to them. So I think those are important key points to good communication.
Julie, what would be a good way, a good graceful way, kind of amplifying your point there? You're in a conversation, you're in a communication situation with someone, and they're going on and on and on, or they say something distasteful. What's a graceful way to sort of extricate yourself from that communication without just simply turning and walking away?
Well, that's a good question. Yes. Number one, if people are saying something that makes you uncomfortable and you don't want to be a part of that conversation, it's totally up to your personality. I would be the type that would say, that's making me feel uncomfortable. Could we talk about something else? That happened to me the other day at a party. There was something that I thought was inappropriate. And so I just helped them change direction, and they were respectful of that. If you don't know the people and you don't really want to make any waves, or you just want to gracefully get out of it, you can just say, excuse me, I have to go to the restroom. That's what I would do, you know, or excuse me, I need to go get a drink. Just make up some nice, sweet excuse that's not going to make them feel like, oh, that person doesn't think the way I do, or whatever. Something that then they wouldn't have to reflect back on as far as a judgment. It would just be something that usually is a need that you have. You need water, you need food, you hear someone's voice that, oh, I need to go speak with George. I've been looking to talk to him about something, so please excuse me. So just come up with some need that you have that isn't going to reflect poorly on the speaker, isn't going to make them feel embarrassed, and just make your exit.
Julie Hanna has a question. Can you discuss different types of people and how to deal with their communications? For example, some folks need direct action responses rather than lengthy explanations. Some spend 10 minutes to say something that another person could say in one sentence.
Well, unfortunately, we can't change the way other people communicate. All we can really manage is our own. So you can be a good example. So after someone has spoken for 10 minutes, say, in other words, this is what you're saying, and give it back to them in 1 minute. That can be a really good way to be a role model for a person so that they understand that. A lot of people, unless they're a very good friend or a person that you supervise, it's really hard to talk to them about their communication style. But, again, if it's a family member, if it's my daughter, if it's an employee, then you have really a responsibility to help them learn the skills. You could send them to trainings. You could sign them up for Toastmasters. You could work with them on their communication skills. I had a wonderful boss in Texas who, with my writing, he really took time to help me understand that I shouldn't use, in the workplace, I shouldn't use the word the phrase, I feel. He said, you should use the phrase, I think. And he would also help me summarize my thoughts so much clearer. So with my writing, not only did he pay attention to the content, but he was also paying attention to how I presented myself, and he really, really helped me to become, you know, follow those seven C's of effective communication. And in my case, it was being more concise.
Constance would like to know, besides looking towards someone, is there a way for a legally blind person to show that they are following what someone is saying? Some people object to even a yes or other verbal confirmation and think that's an interruption.
Basically, I would nod. If you are agreeing with someone and you're wanting to show that you're listening to them, I would just give a little nod, not one that goes on like a bobblehead or anything like that. But when you agree with the point, if you nod, or some people will go, mm-hmm, and they're really not saying yes, they're really murmuring. Say, mm-hmm, yeah, that kind of thing. You're saying sometimes a yes is considered an interruption. I guess it depends on how often you would do it. But most people would take that, oh, this person is listening to me. So the eye contact, having your body going towards the person, nodding, again, murmuring, mm-hmm, maybe even going ahead and saying, yes, I understand that, or I agree. Most people will not consider that an interruption.
And we got some other questions for Julie. It's a great opportunity to have access to a resource like Julie. So if there's any other questions, we have some time left. We can certainly entertain them.
I really think that communication is something, of course, that we all do. And it's something that we can all improve upon. Mind, we have to realize that other people have different ways of doing things, and it doesn't mean they're right or wrong. So it's just a constantly growing, you know, we're constantly growing, and we're constantly, hopefully, improving ourselves. My brother-in-law, who unfortunately died in a plane wreck when he was delivering food to a hurricane victim, he was Hare Krishna, which, you know, I used to think was a pretty extreme religion. But what they believe is that we continually are working on improving ourselves. And once that you have reached the level of perfection, so to speak, then you are pulled up by your little hair at the back of your head and you are taken into nirvana. And I just thought that that was such an interesting picture in my mind, in that we are constantly trying to improve ourselves. We're trying to be better people. We are trying to make the lives of other people better. And just to keep that in our forefront. And again, to me, it comes back to listening. It's the importance of being a good listener will make you be someone that other people want to be around. And I think that's a real critical skill that we can all continue to work on.
Jenny expressed the idea of you touching on the point of the importance of using I statements rather than you statements in personal communication, expressing how one feels about something rather than coming across as blaming the other person.
Absolutely. A great book is The 1 Minute Manager by Kenneth Blanchard. It's an old book. It's been around, I think, since the 80s. But he does a wonderful job of how to either correct someone or give them something that they may not want to hear. And that I comment is so much better than the you, saying, I think that when you do that, it makes me do this, makes me feel this way. You're not saying that it's wrong, but you're saying, I think, or, you know, in that case, I feel when you're speaking to me loudly, I feel like you are yelling at me, and I have a hard time listening to what you're saying. So you've told the person that they're speaking too loudly, but you're not saying, you're speaking too loudly, you're hurting my ears and making them defensive. You're saying how it affects you. And people have a much harder time getting upset if you're talking about how it affects you versus correcting them. But when you're working with an employee, you have an obligation as a manager to correct people and to work with them on improving themselves. At the same time, you have to maintain respect for them. So, again, you can be saying, I think the way that you could improve this situation is to do such and such. I don't think there's a problem with that. I think that's your obligation as a manager. But if you're just talking with other people, that I statement can be very, very effective in getting your point across without hurting feelings or making someone angry.
I think we have time for about one more question. So if anyone has the that question on the tip of their tongue and would like to ask Julie, this is a great opportunity. We've got time for one more.
Hi, Julie. This is Isaiah again. And I was wondering, what are good websites for soft-spoken people?
I have never looked that up. But the web search address I go to is called Dogpile, DOGPILE.com. I have found it to be very successful on kind of oddly worded questions. It just seems like they do a really good job bringing up articles that pertain to whatever I'm interested in. So that's what you could say. You could put in the question, how do I overcome being soft-spoken? That's how I would enter in that search. And you will have all kinds of articles come up. Some of them won't answer your question, but some of them will. So you can just do searches, and that would help. So I personally wouldn't be too concerned unless it's affecting you at work, if you feel like people aren't paying attention to you. Again, I've known many soft-spoken people, and those are the people I tend to listen to the most. When they do say something, I really do listen. And I also think because they're soft-spoken, they have become excellent writers. And they have really focused on their writing skills because they feel more comfortable with their writing skills. And I think as a result then, people do listen to them when they speak because they've read what they've said. I hope that makes sense. But I think there are ways that sometimes we can't overcome the way we are, and what we can do is then just adjust in different areas.
Wow. This has been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun, some interesting and very informative comments, a lot of good suggestions in the text box. I just want to remind everyone that this seminar, like all of our seminars, will be archived on our website and available for your use anytime around the clock. Also, each Hadley seminar is now made available as a podcast, which you can download to your computer or mobile device. If today's seminar has you interested in hearing more about communications topics or business communications or using English effectively, please check out the seminar archives and also Hadley's course list. Julie and I thank you for your participation. Your questions were outstanding and I think really added a lot to the value of this seminar. Hadley values your feedback. Please let us know what you thought about today's seminar, and you can also please give us some suggestions for future topics. One way to do that is by dropping us an email at feedback@hadley.edu. That's feedback at the @ Hadley, Hadley, dot edu. Another way to share is by completing a short on-screen survey that I'm going to post online as we conclude today. I'm going to hand the microphone back over to Julie for some final comments before I come back again. So, Julie?
Coming. And I do think that communication is such an important skill, and I think it's great that you guys want to improve that and want to think about it, because a lot of people don't ever in their entire lives think about, how do I communicate? And it's a shame because, again, we can all continually improve and be role models for other people. So thank you so much for joining me today.
I want to personally thank each and every one of you for joining us today to be a part of this. Your questions and comments not only added a lot of value, but also made it a lot of fun for Julie and I. And thank you for participating today.